I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies. Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Before we get into our little sports talk show, before we get into our trip down memory lane, I just have to throw this on record, okay? I have been taking on our good pal Eagle Eye Picks in these like nightly MLB The Show games. And normally it works out perfect. I'll play a game at like 12:30, 12:45, over in 40, 45 minutes. Bing, bang, boom. Time to get some water, maybe run to the bathroom, and then I'm ready to go and we're ready to make some magic. Today was one of those days where we started right around the same time. Started around 12:55, started around 1 o'clock. And full disclaimer, he's a little more advanced in MLB The Show than I am. I have not beaten him yet. I think I'm going on like a 14-game losing streak. And listen, some of the games have been, you know, the definition of men against boys. But there have been plenty of games that have been excruciating. I'm talking ninth inning losses. I'm talking blown leads. We're playing with like every major league team. I play with the Mets. How apropos is this? I play with the Mets. Biggest lead I've had in any of these games so far. The Mets. And I flush it right down the toilet against the Braves. I mean, if that's not apropos, what is? But tonight was the night. I'm down 5 runs against Scherzer. I'm playing with the Minnesota Twins. And I'm dropping bombs. All of a sudden, Nelson Cruz with 2. Donaldson. Garver. And it's finally going to be my night. And we run out of time. And basically, we agreed at around 1:45 when we realized the pace of the game was kind of going on like a Yankee Red Sox type deal, that odds are this is not going to be an official game. But instead of just saying, well, whoever's up, last at bat wins, no, I got to go, oh, it's got to be at least a 3-run lead. What a mistake by me. So if I never end up beating our buddy Eagle Eye Picks in a game of MLB The Show, I will be forever thinking of the Mets, and I will be forever thinking of the time limit. Now, thankfully, what puts me in much better spirits is the fact that I get to talk to you guys. But tonight was supposed to be maybe the night that the Charlie Brown of MLB The Show, and that is me. I am the Charlie Brown of that game. I am as hapless as it gets. It was maybe going to be my night. I guess we'll have to keep waiting. So now that I have bored you with that little detail of minutia, we get down to business. And today's trip down memory lane will be inspired by none other than the great Nittany Lion, Mike Fliegelman. And he brought this idea to my attention a couple of days ago, and I loved it from the get-go, but I had so much to dive into as far as the choke artists, as far as the dynasties. So I said, you know what? I'm going to put this in a memory bank. I'm going to have it in the reserve, and that way we can fire when need be, and that's exactly what we're going to do tonight. And what I want you guys to think about, and what I want you guys to do over the course of the next 3 hours and change, almost 4 hours, is to brainstorm in your heads and dive into games remembered over time that resemble a certain nickname. And there are plenty, trust me on this, there are plenty of games, and I'm not just talking, oh, great game between the Jazz and the Bulls in the 97 NBA Finals. No, you refer to Game 5 of the 97 NBA Finals as the Jordan flu game. And that's really what kind of inspired this topic. It's the idea of trying to find those singular games, those memorable moments in which the way you refer to the game is through its given nickname. I think it's the utmost compliment you could give a sporting event, that the singular play, for better or worse, was so memorable, was so significant, that it stays with you through this day. That when you think about these games now after the fact, that singular nickname holds true. there are a couple for me to come to mind. And I'm sure more and more will be brought to my attention. And you guys, with the way you have killed these shows every which way, will bring up a game or two where I'm like, you know what? I never realized that had a nickname. Shame on me for not realizing. Hey, went through and watched that British Open meltdown. That was worth the price of admission. That will definitely put me at ease the next time I'm out on the golf course shanking balls left and right. I'll say, hey, at least I didn't lose a British Open this way. But for my money, when I think about games that have that sort of singular nickname, right? From a football standpoint, the first game I think of here, well, I'm actually going to give you two right out of the gate. One, actually both, involved the New England Patriots. The first one would be the Tuck Rule game. And the Tuck Rule game, even though I hated the outcome, even though the outcome in many ways could have changed the fortunes of the two particular franchises in the Oakland Raiders and the New England Patriots, it is, for me, one of my favorite football memories of watching an NFL postseason game. Because if you guys remember, not only up in New England on that given night, but in the tri-state area, we got a whole lot of snow that Saturday. And that was at a point in time for me where me and the fellas from school, we'd gather on Saturday, every Saturday, from like November until about February. And we play tackle football games. Don't ask why. Glad mom's not listening. I'm sure she wouldn't be thrilled to hear about this. But we would play tackle football games. Thankfully, nobody really got too badly hurt. I did on a freak play, but that's besides the point. Let's bask in the moment of this. Eighth grade, okay? In the snow. And it was just, it was awesome. I mean, you're playing 4 or 5 inches of snow. You got a nice 5-on-5 game going. You got that testosterone, the competitive spirits flowing. And I was just in the best of spirits. My team might have won, might have thrown a couple of touchdowns, and we play our game. And then we come back, and we're all going our separate ways, and it's like, wow, this is great. We got two divisional round postseason games to check out. And if I'm not mistaken, the first game I watched, kind of nondescript in many ways, it was the Eagles taking on the Chicago Bears. Okay. Donovan McNabb and the Eagles went into Soldier Field and ended up taking down Chicago. Ended up going to the NFC title game. I want to say they took on Kyle Orton. Pretty sure they took on Kyle Orton. Eagles over the Bears. But the night game was the game you were looking forward to because it was the Raiders with all of their talent, Rich Gannon, Jerry Rice, Tim Brown, Chucky, John Gruden on the sideline, taking on this upstart underdog New England Patriot team. Now, I don't have the point spread in front of me for what the Tuck Rule spread might have been, but I bet you most people in that game liked Oakland's chances. They had taken care of the Jets wild card weekend. They were in the AFC title game a year ago. They had all of this firepower on offense. And what you got was a blizzard up at Old Foxborough Stadium. And this is a time in which you didn't have high-definition televisions, but the optic and just the good feeling of having snow, January, playoff football made it seem like an event. That game felt like an event. Like, it still, like, stands out in my memory, sitting down, watching with my dad, seeing how great a game that ended up being. And it looked like the Raiders, as we know, had the Patriots dead to rights. That strip of Tom Brady by Charles Woodson, I'm sure for folks at the stadium, I'm sure for anybody who maybe had a couple of shekels on New England, would have said at that point in time, there's not a chance in the world this play is going to be overturned. And I'm sure for most of the Oakland Raiders, they thought they had celebrated and won the game and they were going to the AFC title. Think again. And you have the reversal on the Tuck Rule. And what does it lead to? The drama of Adam Vinatieri needing to hit a game-tying kick, 40-plus yarder in the snow, drills it. Then the Patriots getting the ball, marching it down the field, Vinatieri, game-winning kick. With the Patriots clearing off the field to make sure there's enough room for him to kick the football. That's a game. We could talk about all of the little ins and outs. All of the significance. The bottom line is, when you think of that game between the Patriots and the Raiders, a postseason classic, it's the Tuck Rule game. Now, this game is anything but a beautiful optic. And if you're a Jeff fan, I mean, it's the definition of downright misery. But Thanksgiving in 2012, and I was doing radio here on WFAN. I remember I was working Thanksgiving night. I was scheduled to do an earlier show on Thanksgiving because we as a station could not air the night game because the Jets were involved and the rights to the other station. So I watched the first two games and I was like, all right, have my dinner, have a little pumpkin pie, and boom. I'll go on the air, talk about the first two, and then kind of live watch the Jet game with everybody. And I remember my concern going into that night as a sports radio host. I'm like, geez, if the Jet-Patriot game is good, who the hell is going to be listening to my show? How am I going to get calls? How am I going to generate reaction? How am I going to do this? Now, I was prepared because I did it for Yankee playoff games. And that's another moment I will never forget. Another game that we're going to talk about. I was on the air for it, and it was early in my career, and it was like one of those holy blank moments for me where I'm like, wow, I'm watching this. I'm reacting to it. But I'd done it before in Syracuse. So I was like, yeah, I got this. No problems. But like internally, I was feeling quite different. Quite different. But that night, Thanksgiving 2012, the infamous Mark Sanchez in Brandon Moore's derriere, better known as the butt fumble game. That's all you refer to it as. It's not the Thanksgiving bloodbath with the Patriots and the Jets. It's not the fact that the Patriots ran up the score and embarrassed the Jets every which way. When you're thinking of a nickname for that given game, it's forever and ever and ever the butt fumble. And in many ways, that butt fumble game was the end of Mark Sanchez and his tenure with the New York Jets. And I know Sanchez started a couple more games in that 2012 season. Odds are, Mark Sanchez would have had a very good opportunity to be the starter in 2013 if indeed Rex Ryan and the Jets didn't foolishly put him in a preseason game with like the third stringers in the Super Bowl. Another moment I was on the air for. It's amazing how sometimes these like big moments just find you. And you're just like working a like random show. Yeah, I was on the air, CBS Sports Radio. And then I think I came over to FAN and I was like, wow, this is great. I got a layup here with this Sanchez story. And everybody was all sorts of fired up about it. But that night on Thanksgiving, that is the definition of a nickname game for all of the wrong reasons. And I think you guys will realize this as we go through the show, that there are plenty of nickname games in memorable ways that have the positive, beautiful, superlative. Like if you're a Patriot fan, the Tuck Rule game, you like the sound of that. Now, it's before my time, obviously, but the NFC title game between the San Francisco 49ers and the Dallas Cowboys, that game, as dramatic as it may have been, as exciting as it may have been, is remembered for one thing, and it's remembered for one thing only, the catch. That's the lasting image in everybody's mind, and that is how that game over time has been perceived.
Understanding power requires more than headlines. I'm Peter Hamby, host of The Powers That Be, a podcast from Puck examining politics, economics, and media to provide context, analysis, and clarity without sensationalism. We ask how power operates, who benefits, and what's at stake. If you want to move beyond breaking news to deeper understanding, join us on The Powers That Be. New episodes every weekday. Follow The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.